Well, it's time to bring in now the man, the former Socceroo and current Melbourne City skipper to dissect all of the World Cup action. Good morning, Scott Jamieson.
Good morning, team. How are we?
Very well. Well, let's just start with, get straight into it with the Socceroos yesterday. They obviously went down 2-1 to Argentina. What were your thoughts, first of all, just on that game and the result?
Yeah, look, I thought, you know, the game was a tough one. We were obviously in it for large parts of it. And then, you know, we made a few mistakes, which in fairness, you don't want to do to Argentina and probably the greatest player of all time. So we did that, but, you know, we caught ourselves back in it and we stayed in the fight, and that was fantastic. You know, they're a team that are favourites, or one of the favourites, and we've put up a challenge against them. So, you know, full credit to the boys. Unfortunately, the dream stops there, but everyone involved can really be proud of their achievements and how far they've come, and hopefully the impact they've made on the game is a massive one.
And what did you make of, we were just mentioning about the youngster in Garang Kuol, what did you make of his final moments? It was certainly a time that he could have almost broken the internet had he got the goal right there at the death, but certainly a bright future for him.
Yeah, I mean, what's been made of Garang, and I guess his sudden rise to fame as such, you know, getting a move to the English Premier League with Newcastle United and then going to the World Cup and being the youngest player. Look, he's had a great rise and nearly really topped off all the praise and the hype with the chance in the last minute. So it maybe was written in the fairy tales for it to happen, but you know, someone didn't want it to happen above, and unfortunately for us and him, it didn't. But, you know, 18 years old at the World Cup and making an impact, hopefully he's got a big future, not just for himself, but Australian football.
Scotty, can I confirm, I believe you're at the Kiaba Hotel again watching it?
I am, mate. I'm about my 10th year in. Don't tell Melbourne City, I've got training this morning, so I've got to find a driver, and I think it's one of those high-visi guys that we saw last week, 2 weeks ago, so they'll be dropping me off.
They were happy to drive on. Now, anyway, what does it mean? I mean, the world looks at the World Cup, obviously, but for a team who, you know, we saw in the early rounds, France, oh, never heard of them. Everyone just, we never heard of them. What does this mean for Australian football in the eyes of the rest of the world now?
Well, I mean, I don't necessarily think it's going to cause massive earthquakes around the world in terms of how we've gone. I think it's more so locally and how we're perceived, not just from the football media here, but also the general media and the sporting media. So, look, I'm sure Argentina were respectful of the Australians and how they competed, and you know, Denmark definitely have to take notice, don't they? Because we cleaned them up. But I think it's the impact we've hopefully made within our own country. I think that's the key, and that's something that is going to be key going forward to the future of the round ball in this country. You know, we saw the impact of what it did over the last, you know, 8 to 10 days with fan sites everywhere, and you know, it being talk of the town, and obviously Gil McLaughlin and the AFL being a bit worried and releasing fan fixtures. It's something that, yeah, as a code, we need to really draw on and use to springboard and hopefully make a bigger and better future of it.
We have had a spike before after a World Cup, in a sense, like as in, yep, the knowledge and the hype, but it hasn't followed through. Do we need more government? I mean, Jamie and I spoke earlier about how expensive it is for young kids to get into it. I mean, where does the money/promotion need to go?
Well, they're getting $13 million, Football Australia, for just qualifying from the group stage. So money there from FIFA is important. But, yeah, you touched on it quickly there about the government funding. And it's been made a big song and dance about from all people that, you know, football doesn't get enough funding from the government, and rightly so. But also as a code, you know, we haven't capitalised on, you know, important performances in the past, and that's something we need to do. You know, we really need to push the A-League, I guess, achievements that were in the World Cup and bring them home on TVs and radio and print and put it in people's faces so it's in their faces and they don't forget. You know, the Matthew Leckies, we need to wheel him out and show him off to all of Australia to really remember, or make people remember his achievements and the A-League's achievements in the World Cup.
Well, how does the Socceroos' performance now reflect the standard of the A-League?
Well, Jamie, I think if you look at it, and men and women lie, but numbers don't. I think we had about, you know, 10 to 7 to 10 A-League players in there. And, you know, the other night, you know, well, prior to that Denmark, it was an A-League player who took us through to the next round. The A-League in itself is a strong league, not comparable to Premier League or, you know, Serie A or La Liga. That's just silly, but in its own right, it's a strong league, and it's got to be respected. And hopefully with the achievements of Matthew Lecky and Garang Cole and, you know, Jamie McLaren, you know, it does. It's important that the league keeps on and trying to improve and go at a good pace, but get the respect from the Australian public and sporting public.
History shows that if you perform this stage, you know, the big clubs around Europe are all watching. I mean, does someone like Harry Suter, or is there another one that might get a phone call and maybe a better gig?
Well, I'm going to make sure I take away Matthew Lecky's phone, because I'm pretty sure with his performances, he'd be getting a few phone calls. But I'm lucky he's probably on the wrong side of 30. But, yeah, no doubt, you know, players like Harry Suter, maybe Keanu Backus, who performed admirably and, you know, really well throughout the whole group stage, and then the, you know, the game yesterday against Argentina, clubs will be knocking. And that's a positive, you know, for the performances that have come of. You know, we look at how our players in the leagues they're in, you know, Scotland's championship at A-League, and hopefully there are some moves to help continue the rise of their careers.
Now, Matty Ryan's era, I mean, in hindsight, we look at it and go, oh, I mean, it hurt at the time. But could you understand what he was trying to do? I think it was part of his game plan. He didn't want to just blaze it away all the time.
Look, he's been a fantastic servant to the national team. But when you make a mistake, you've got to cop the criticism. And I'm sure, you know, he's a strong enough character to cop it. And it was a poor mistake and something that I think, he had it over again, he would have booted it into row Z, and that would have ultimately maybe put us in with a strong chance of getting to extra time. But you can't criticise him as a whole. You know, he's been fantastic. He continues to perform for the Socceroos, but unfortunately for him, yeah, he's got to boot that to row Z and then get the men back in order and go from there.
Yeah, well, we did mention it at the start of the show that he did keep 2 clean sheets, Matty Ryan. So I think we all need to remember that he has played brilliantly for the Socceroos throughout this tournament so far. Well, what you've seen throughout the World Cup, Scott, is there a team that's the standout for you as the one to take it out this year?
Well, currently I'm watching England, guys. Yeah. And I think we may be hearing that song a little more and more because, you know, they're 2-0 in front in Senegal and they're playing comfortably. You know, Senegal looked dangerous early, but you know, England have really come into the game and scored 2 goals. So England are a threat. You know, I've said from the start, Brazil and Neymar has just come on social medias and reported he's fit, and England have just made it 3. So I think Brazil, England, I mean, France this morning were electrifying and killing Mbappe. So I think out of those 3, I thought Argentina weren't great, albeit against us. I don't think they had enough to really cause any havoc come the final 4 or so if they make it. So I'm going to go out of those 3, France, England and Brazil.
Just 3, mate? Any more? You want to have 5 or 6 goes?
Well, if it was a lucky dip, I'd buy the whole team and then I'd be winning, wouldn't I?
Now, what about Arnie? I mean, what he's done, you know, for a low-key Socceroos team coming in and then to produce this. He says he's going away to have a holiday, but I would have thought he's earned another contract.
I have no doubt he'll be offered a new contract, whether he accepts it. You know, I'm pretty sure, I don't know Arnie too well, but from what I do know, he forgives but never forgets. And I'm sure, you know, all those criticism and look, I was one where I was questioning whether he should have been in charge prior to, you know, the qualifying stages and the final game against Peru and stuff. But he'd remember all the people that would have criticised him in the media and maybe inside his own 4 walls within Football Australia. So he may want to move on, you know, but he'll definitely offer a new contract. How can't you offer the guy who took us to the round of 16 and gave us 2 wins? So I think the ball's in Arnie's court and what he wants to do, he'll do.
So Saturday night, let's look ahead to
you guys back.
Against Sydney
FC.
Yeah, holidays are over. As you said, you have to go off to training today. So talk us through Saturday night's match. How do you see this one playing out?
Well, it's Sydney FC in the new Allianz Stadium, which is, you know, a treat to start the resumption. And look, Sydney have been up and down. You know, they had a good result against Celtic in their friendly. So look, we've had a few weeks off in regards to games. We've been training, you know, on and off. And for us, you know, we've got a new manager, so it's going to be interesting. You know, hopefully we continue where we started, but ultimately we'll have three players coming back on a high from the World Cup, and us players who have been here working hard, you know, we'll look to put our best foot forward and continue a good form.
Surely they're not playing, Scotty. You've got to let them get on the beers or something.
Well, I've spoke to one or two, and I did say, and respectfully, I said, well, you're prepared for Messi in Argentina, and a week later you're playing against Sydney FC, and how emotionally how's that going to go? But they're all three good lads. They work hard, so I'm sure they'll do the right thing, whether they need a rest or not. I'm not too sure.
Well, Scott, thank you so much for your time this morning, and good luck on Saturday night.
Thanks, guys. Much appreciated. Talk soon.